Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Good evening, everybody. It's Destiny Fox.
Hi, this is Michael.
And we have the very beautiful and talented Jessica with us tonight again. Love you,
hey,
Jessica.
Hey, everybody.
We kicked around some ideas for a show tonight, and I think we've got a good topic.
We got a great topic.
People fascinated or obsessed with paranormal. I can't wait to get into it. I'll give you a word of warning. We may be interrupted by sweet baby Will coming in to give me a night hug and a kiss. That's the best part of bedtime, is my nighttime hug.
Yes, it is.
So there's nothing like grandbaby hugs.
I know. They're so sweet and they feel so good. It almost makes me want to have a baby. You want to have a baby, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a dog.
Good luck with that one. So how are you doing, Jessica?
Well, I've got a little bit of a headache at the moment, and I decided that I was going to take some Tylenol to fix it. So I took it with my ice water, and I have this habit of like crunching down on ice. And what I thought was ice was actually still a Tylenol in my mouth. Blech.
Well, it'd work faster.
Yeah, crush it up, dissolve it under your tongue or something.
Yeah. That'll teach me to crunch the ice.
There you go. So, had any good paranormal experiences here lately, Jessica?
Yes, but not out of the normal in my house. We have a resident spirit at my house that we believe is the lady that passed here, which would make sense. The other evening I was laying in bed reading a book on demonology, and I felt someone looking at me, and I rolled over, looked towards my bathroom, and she was standing in my bathroom door, and then she just disappeared.
Oh, wow.
I see her every once in a while. She's wearing a nightgown. She's wearing a white nightgown that's got like a little tiny flowers on it. And they're like pinkish. I don't know what she was wearing when she would die, when she passed, but it'd be really interesting if that was it. She actually passed in my kitchen floor. My neighbor that lives next door still here is the one that found her.
Yeah, we haven't had anything new happening around us lately either.
We call her Miss Joan because, you know, we think that she is Joan, the lady. And she's just kind of here. She's not really bothering us. She'll hide my keys once in a while.
But... Oh, I hate when that happens. And then, you know, you look in one spot, and then after you search the whole house, you come back and they're laying right in the first place that you looked.
So that's exactly what happened. And I'm like, okay, Miss Joan, that's enough. And I went back and looked where I knew I left them. And they were there where I'd looked three times already and they weren't. So I get in the car and I'm like headed to work, and I'm going down the highway, and I come up on this traffic and all the traffic stopped. And if I had been just a couple minutes earlier, I could have been involved in that nasty wreck.
Wow.
So it's kind of like, thanks, Miss Joan.
I know. I've often wondered if, some of the near misses that I've had were maybe angels swaying me to go a different way or something. Let me tell you what happened. I was on the way home one night, and up at a traffic light. I just always would go up to that traffic light and turn to the left to go home. I mean, you could go either way. If you go straight, there was another way to get to where I lived. But I pulled up there for some reason. I didn't want to go that way, and I didn't get in the turning lane. I went straight, and I'm sitting there thinking, I really didn't want to go this way. I wanted to go to the left. So a van pulled up beside me in the turning lane. I said, well, I guess this seals the deal. I'm going straight. Sat there a couple of more seconds, and bam, this car runs the red light and hits that van head on.
It
Scared
could have been you.
that, yeah, it would have been me. It would have. But something directed me to go a different direction. And I'm so thankful that whatever force it was, I'm thankful for that because I could have been hurt.
You know what my mother said that causes that is that somebody's praying for you. It's
Well, I
like,
need all of them I can get. Send them all.
right. Me too.
Right. Well, Michael and I have been talking about all evening since he got home from work about why are people so fascinated with the paranormal? The one biggest thing that we agreed on was television.
Yeah, a lot of the experts believe, that America has a infatuation with the paranormal because a lot of it that they put on the TV shows, these paranormal shows that's come out over the years, that's made more people aware of it.
Right.
But even before that, people were still kind of obsessed with the paranormal. And I say that because these haunted houses that pop up around Halloween are sold out every night. And I believe that part of it is because fear, especially when you're in a situation where you're afraid of something, but you know you're safe, like watching a horror movie in your
Right.
house or
And
going to a
people
haunted
walk
house, and you
around.
know they're not really going to hurt you, releases endorphins and adrenaline. And that rush is addictive.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's adrenaline rush. Adrenaline junkies.
And that's the way I was when we first started investigating together, Michael. There was something about that feeling that I would get actually seeing something. I mean, that was not human, actually seeing shadow people, seeing mist, hearing things. The biggest highlight there was when you would let me hear EVPs that we would capture. I was like, oh, did you hear that? The spirit box, everything was so fascinating to me because I had found a way to be able to see and hear these spirits that I always wanted to.
Yes.
My fascination with the paranormal started when I was a kid. My sister was very much into any kind of horror movie. I remember Halloween night, we would come home from trick-or-treating, and the TV would be on these haunted shows, monster movies. And even though they would scare me half to death as a child, I still wanted to watch them. I wanted to watch movies about ghosts, witches, demons. Everything. I mean, I was fascinated with that.
Well, I was too, to a point, but I think now when I look back on it, and I think, a percentage of people, in the world probably share the same thing, is that I had paranormal experiences as a child that scared me. And I wanted to face my fears. And one way I was facing my fears was watching all these horror movies when I was a young, child.
So you were a plasmaphobic.
Yeah.
See, we didn't have a TV growing up because my mother's religion said we weren't supposed to have a TV in our house. So I didn't get the experience of like horror movies until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And so like the first horror movie I saw was a movie called 13 Ghosts. That was the first time I had really seen a horror movie. And there was this ghost in it that had this cage around its head. And I had nightmares about that ghost for months after I watched that movie.
You watched the new one. There's
Yeah, it
the
was the one that was
Yeah, there was
released
the
in the
original
early
one.
2000s.
Yeah.
That was, I saw that on TV. I've been trying to record Michael and I some movies, scary movies for Halloween. Of course, that they will still be on my DVR probably the 4th of July. So I
Cool,
record
we'll
all,
watch them for
and
Easter.
we never have time to watch them. We can start a movie, and it will take us like 3 or 4 days to watch this movie in
Yeah.
its entirety. We started watching something last night, and I paused it. I didn't realize that we were had been on the phone over an hour with a friend of ours, but we were. And so tonight, after the podcast, I'm going to be finishing that show. It's actually, we got reinterested in True Blood, the HBO original series. You've never seen that.
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah,
The
it's
vampire thing.
Yeah, it's about vampires. Bill and Sookie.
well, it's more than vampire. They've got
Yeah, they're
vampire,
like
they've got
shifters.
werewolves, shapeshifters, fairies,
I
witches.
have to ask though, are the vampires glittery?
No.
Okay, good, because I Twilight, I was very disappointed. Light hits them and they sparkle. What is that?
I don't know. It was pretty though.
Don't know.
Yeah, Michael was mentioning a fear of ghosts. A lot of times, I thought about this earlier. A lot of times, plasmaphobic people are mistaken for people fascinated and obsessed with the paranormal because they go around taking pictures in their home all the time, always trying to validate something is a spirit. When all along they're really not fascinated or obsessed with the paranormal, it's just that they're plasmaphobic, and they've got that persistent fear, intense fear of ghosts. And it's a fear they can't control. And they're scared, is the reason that they do it. There's
And
so many different, go ahead.
sometimes they do it for attention too. We've ran into that a few times.
Oh yeah. But some of them are genuinely afraid.
And we've had, clients that were genuinely afraid over the years too,
Yes.
that we had to deal with it. But I mean, originally, people that get into the paranormal have gotten into it for their own personal reasons.
Right.
Right.
I
But
remember.
getting into the paranormal and then becoming p obsessed with the
Right.
paranormal are two different things.
And if you're not careful, you will become obsessed. Now,
Oh, yeah.
paranormal is my thing. I love paranormal. I'm the type person, it doesn't scare me, and it's never scared me. Now, there are darker spirits that kind of, yeah, nudge me a little bit in the fear zone. But as far as ghosts and spirits, earthbound spirits, that they just, I've even thought about when we are doing paranormal investigations, I've turned my whole spiel around. Is there something we can help you with?
Yeah.
Is there something you want us to know? Kind of thing. So, and another thing, Michael and I were talking earlier about the difference between ghosts and spirits. And there is a difference. According to Hans Holzer, a little article that he read, and I tend to agree with him, ghosts are more your people who have died at a location, sudden death or traumatic death, and they're confined to that location. Where spirits
of the other
being are not tied to one place. And it's believed that these entities are able to move from place to place, from dimension to dimension, and come visit you at will.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people may not know who Hans Holzer is. He is another pioneer in paranormal investigating.
Just like Ed Warren.
Yeah, just like Ed Warren. Hans Holzer, you know, focused on trying to catch EVPs. He was using reel-to-reels back in the day.
Yes, and I love that show Dave Schrader had.
Yeah,
Dave Schrader. They were actually going back and revisiting some of the haunted locations that Hans and I can't remember his psychic companion's name.
I don't remember right off the top of my head. I can hear her voice.
But you would hear the reels of the information she was giving. And then when the current team would go back to this location, they were feeling, and Cindy Casa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She would validate everything that the psychic partner of Hans Holzer would, and it was a fascinating show, and it takes a good paranormal show to keep my attention.
Yeah,
but that was good. I watched a lot of those episodes.
Yeah, he goes back to being one of the pioneers in paranormal investigating.
Right, he was a parapsychologist.
I believe he was a parapsychologist.
Taught that, I think. I don't remember. I would have to look it up. I've read a lot of
focused a lot on the paranormal.
I've read a lot of his articles and things through the past years. Quite fascinating, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I do know someone personally that has a fascination, if not obsession, with fairies. That is one thing I've never seen, but I'd like to. I'm not saying they don't exist, because I've seen some stuff over the years. But if they do, I'd like to see one. Not a dragon.
I'd love to see one.
You know, not anything like that.
What do you think of the connection with fairies and aliens?
Well, if we go back to True Blood. There was an episode where Sookie is half fae and she's half human. And... it was just a TV show, though. But the idea is that fairies were alien. But I don't know. I really haven't studied up on fairies a lot. Somewhat. I do know that there's four types. The Neptuni, which is the fairy of water. Incubi, who wander the earth. And then Desi, which was under the earth. And then spiritual Nequite, in the celestial, which inhabited the air. So that, you know, pretty much the same way as the elements. You know, you got the element of air, water, wind, earth.
I don't know. You know, if there is a connection to that or not. It was an interesting theory that was suggested, you know, that, you know, that could be connected to aliens. And again, you know, in the paranormal, people get these obsessions with this kind of stuff.
Right. Obsessions with haunted houses,
yes.
Haunted places. I don't go to a lot of paid haunts, you know, where you pay and you go through and people come out with chainsaws and things, because I'm one that if I'm startled, for some reason, and you can ask Michael, my right fist just wants to fly through the air.
Yeah.
All balled up. you know, so for the actor's safety, I don't go through there. But for the most part, I just walk through, and Jessica and I were talking about this. She's pretty much the same way. Just walk through and like, oh, hey. Like,
nice makeup, bro.
Yeah, I know. And see, that's where I am. Now, I will scream out, but it's that element of surprise. Somebody jumping out at me and yelling and screaming.
Which is a good way to get meat in the groin if you do that to me.
So yes.
Because I'll catch a charge.
My reflex is too good, I guess.
Again, though, you have people that go to these haunted houses or whatever that's put on every year. And it deep down, it's their infatuation with the paranormal is why they're going.
Right.
True. And then
they're just for the scare, because they like to feel that adrenaline pump.
Again, it's right. It comes down to the paranormal. It's that adrenaline rush that they get. Everybody wants to experience something they don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
Or they want to see something. They want visual proof that spirits exist. And then, you know, and it's sad to say, and it's kind of scary, you have people that actually are fascinated with demons.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the D word.
Which is very unhealthy.
Absolutely. To the point where I've heard people tell me, well, you know, right out here in the yard is where our roommate summoned a demon. And I'm like, really? And you guys were cool with that? No wonder.
That makes me want to get in my car and leave.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, we almost done that on an investigation, and then we looked at pictures around in the house of someone's child that lived in the home, and the child was being victimized by this negative energy. You know, things were being thrown at the child just out of nowhere, and those are the times that you're like, I really don't want to be here, but I know you need help.
Right. And look, I never like to make somebody like feel like I don't care or walk off and leave. But when they're purposefully bringing that into their world, it doesn't make you real excited about helping them, because it feels like they're just going to do it again.
Exactly. Yeah.
And most of them do it again.
Yeah. And then there's haunted locations that people keep returning to and returning to. It's fascination. I know there's a place I've been to 3 or 4 times, and every time I go, it's something different. It's not an obsession with this place, but it's a fascination. And it's, well, actually, it's Pauley Jail in Union Spring, Alabama. It never disappoints. There's always something going on.
Always.
That's always. We spent the night there. And I mean, I went to bed and went to sleep. But all through the night, you guys were telling me, hey, we heard something walking up and down those stairs all night long. We heard a cell door slam. We heard conversations going on. And I'm like, dang, and I had to go to sleep.
We heard, when we were on the third floor investigating, we heard crying from downstairs.
Yeah.
In the women's unit. And you can hear it with your own ears loud and clear. You know nobody's down there. And then, well, when we went to bed, Youngblood and I were in the same room, and we shut the door to the women's unit, and it's a big, heavy door. And in the morning, it was opened by about 9 inches, and there was no way that airflow that we had through there could have pushed that open at all like that. The door was
No.
too heavy.
Right.
The experiences there are always incredible. But it gives us an opportunity to learn more so that we can help people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Learning experiences.
But you
because
know,
let's face it, in order to learn, go ahead, Michael.
I said, then you have those people that they're basically enthusiasts in the paranormal, and they want to go in and they think, you know, antagonizing the spirits is how they're going to get proof of hauntings. You know, they're
good
going
way to get
about
hurt,
everything the wrong way.
Like provoking.
Yeah, provoking.
We had a team member learn a little lesson with provoking spirits. He was fascinated with the concept of going in and provoking. Can I provoke tonight? And I'm like, no, we don't do that. So, okay. So I'm like, do what you want to do. Just go ahead. Because I knew this person had to learn a valuable lesson. So in his provoking, he was slapped by a spirit. He came running out of that room, and I didn't know what it was. I mean, we were watching on the camera. I mean, he's sitting there in a closet, a long closet. He's sitting at the end. We have a camera right on him. He did not slap himself. He jumped up real fast and came running out of that closet, and he had a huge handprint on the side of his face.
Red handprint on his face.
I mean, eyes as big as saucers. I kid you not. And so he had to learn a lesson that way. But yeah,
There's a lot of people that'll try to provoke them like that, and it's a bad idea.
It really is, because number one, you don't know what kind of spirit may be lurking around.
Yeah, some of them
you
aren't
know
very nice.
there's no sense in stirring the pot kind of thing.
You're going to be, you know, mean and antagonize the spirit. This is what you're going to get. It's a spirit that's mean. I think, you know, in the paranormal, we get more flies with honey than we do with vinegar.
Well, one thing too, my train of thought is going in and actually gaining the trust. You know, we're not here to make fun of you. We're just here to communicate with you. We want to learn more about you. In some cases, you know, it depends on the situation that we're in, exactly the line of questioning and how it goes. But we've had people want to join our team that are absolutely obsessed with finding spirits. You know, it had turned into an obsession, and I'm like, I can't use you. I'm sorry. You know, that's obsession with this stuff can lead to possession. And I'm
well,
not
also can put the whole team at risk.
Mm-hmm. The whole team at risk.
Exactly. We were talking about a situation just this past week. You know, people willingly invite negative in, and they do things and they bring it in. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It means they're inexperienced, you know, young and really don't know what they're getting into. They put themselves in situations that are going to invite these negative entities to them and draw them to them, and then want to call, hey, I need your help. Well, you know, when they bring this on themselves, you kind of got the mindset, it's like, oh no, you did this. Why should I put myself in danger? Why should I put my team in danger? Mm-hmm. you know, there's so many dangers to dealing with negative spirits. There are so many things that can happen. So, no, I don't think we should put ourselves in situations. I most definitely don't think we need to be summoning demons or attempting to, because no demon, the biggest thing, people are fascinated because they see stories on YouTube, TikTok videos, on and on and on and on, where if I summon this demon, then this demon is going to do my bidding for me. This demon is going to come and I can get him to attack my enemies. I can get him to do this for me. Look, there is no demon out there, your genie in a bottle, okay? That's not going to happen. You can't like rub a genie's lamp and say, okay, demon, I'm ready for you. My husband or my wife really made me mad this morning. I want you to go to where they work and I want you to cause them all kind of mischief today. You know, it doesn't work that way. Their sole purpose is to kill and destroy. They want to possess you. That they want to do this because they want to experience what it's like to be in a human body. They want to experience the things of life, because that's one thing they've never done unless they've possessed someone before. And so obsession with the demonic is crazy to me. I mean, fascination. I was fascinated at one time. It's the reason I started studying demonology. I wanted to learn more. I had seen people possessed before and watched them be delivered. It's not anything I had ever done myself. And I wanted, to be honest with you, I wanted to experience that. I wanted to put my hands on somebody and start casting a demon out of them. Well, I found out real fast that if you go in with that attitude, I'm going to do this, me, no, you're not going to remove a spirit from anybody. No. There's preparation that has to go into this. If I even, any kind of deliverance, I like to fast 3 days. Cut back on things. I get my mind clear. I get my thoughts clear. You know, and people's fascination with demons, then somebody like us or some demonologist has to go into their home or, you know, have them go somewhere and meet you so you can get them delivered. They're putting people's lives at risk, their health. It's not like you cast this out and then it's over. It takes a toll on a person.
And the person that gets delivered forever has a weakness that's left behind after that. It being delivered is like, I had cancer once, now I have to be scanned once a year to make sure it don't come back.
Right. Right. There has to be lifestyle changes. There absolutely has to be. I mean, you got to think back, okay, what place in my life was I at when this demon decided that it wanted to come to me? It wanted to try to destroy my life. It wanted to inhabit my body. What kind of condition was I in at that time? What kind of locations was I going to? You know, you've got to completely change from that. There's a lot of things that has to be done a lot differently in your life once you're delivered. Because if you're not real careful, it could happen again.
Right. And the next time it's worse.
Yes.
I believe that they're harder to get rid of every time you have to do a subsequent deliverance.
Well, we actually had to do a deliverance on someone a second time. The second time was worse than the first, to be honest with you. The first little deliverance was easy breezy. So I'm thinking, okay, either we didn't get rid of this. Actually, what had happened is we actually, when we did that deliverance, it was in their home. It was a young lady and her husband, and that spirit actually came out of her, okay? But what had happened was when it came out, it's just hard to explain. This thing ran through me to the point where when it hit me, I got knocked around on the floor. It's like I'm looking down the hall, this thing hits me, and I'm just completely thrown around facing the opposite direction. And just as I landed, after I turned around, I am facing Kobe, which immediately when he sees me, the thing taps him and he falls up against the wall. We heard this entity running down the hall, giggling, and it was gone. And then, it happens again to this young lady, and it was tougher, more aggressive, stronger. It was like, let me show you what I've really got. So, if anybody's fascinated with demons, demonology, that's cool. That's fine. Learn all you can, but don't let it be an obsession that, hey, I've got to summon a demon just to see if I can get rid of it. No, don't be like that.
Never do that.
That is very foolish.
People do some foolish things sometimes, thinking that they can fix the problem after they cause it.
Right, you're exactly right.
It's like, let me set this fire so I can see if my fire extinguisher works.
Right,
Well,
right.
what? Why would you do that?
Obsessions with cemeteries. Fascination with cemeteries. I was there at one time in my life. I learned a valuable lesson. We would be going down the road, and I'd be like, Michael, pull in here. Let's go walk in the cemetery. And it wasn't that we were investigating, it's just there was something about walking through there, looking at the different headstones, seeing symbols on them, learning what the symbols meant. To me, that was fascinating. But one day we did that, and something attacked me. We were not in there asking questions. We didn't have a spirit box. We didn't have a recorder. But it started feeling crazy. It was just before sunset. It was still daylight, but the sun was setting. And we got in the car to leave, and I could not breathe. Something was cutting off my airways. It was almost like, I don't know. I couldn't say it was like being choked because I didn't feel anything around my throat, but I couldn't breathe. And then, I'm in distress, and Michael's even saying, we need to go to the ER. We need to go to the ER. But the farther away we got from that cemetery, the more this started loosening up off of me. I go by that cemetery every morning. Will I ever stop there again? No.
No.
No, not gonna happen. But there are some that would have been fascinated by that and like, I've got to go back again. I've got to see if this happens again or if it happens to somebody else. I want to know why it's happening.
You know, we went to that covered bridge, and my daughters and I go quite a bit. And the last time we went, we took a friend of mine who, for the next 4 or 5 days, believed that something had come home with her and was trying to get me to bring equipment over and investigate her house. And I realized that I can't take her with us because she becomes obsessed very fast.
Right. Well, and especially this time of year. Okay, it's Halloween. It's October. More people are thinking about paranormal now than ever before. They want those haunts. They want those thrills. And that's fine. That is absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that. But more people now, usually October, we get all kind of messages and phone calls. Hey, I think I've got a ghost in my house. This year's been different. It hasn't been the same. Not a lot of messages. Some, no. Not a lot. Just asking questions, you know. A lot of people will message us and they just want paranormal advice, which is all good and well. I share my knowledge, what little bit I probably have on the subject. You know, I share with them, you know, what could possibly be going on in their home, things to look for. I ask them to keep a log. I learned that from Michael.
Yes.
Keep a log of the activity that's going on and see if it's happening about the same time each night or the same time each day. You know, just basic stuff. And, you know, they're fascinated with that. They actually follow up with me several times and let me know, hey, you know, I found out this happens at 10:30 every night. At 10:30 every night, this happens. And they're fascinated by that. And every once in a while, I'll follow up with them and say, hey, is that still going on? Yes, about 10:30 every night. It happens, or once a week on a Friday night or whenever. But more people are open to the paranormal in October. I know some people have told Michael or asked the question, do you feel like the veil is thinner in October?
It's possible.
Do you think that's possible? The time of year, the season changing? Approaching winter solace? And Michael's just eating his pig skins over here.
So I think that with the days starting to become shorter and nights longer, it triggers the spooky in us.
Yeah.
It really does. And you're watching paranormal shows. You're watching all these Halloween shows. And then you're going to be more open to it because you're watching it on TV. I guess about speaking of TV, I was going to tell you earlier, the movie that traumatized me was, wasn't it? The Exorcist. The first movie, The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
When I watched that, that scared me so bad. I could not sleep. My friend that we saw that movie with, she had, you remember the AIM toothpaste? And I don't even know if they still make it. It was green.
Yeah.
Minty green. Okay, so she goes in the bathroom and she fills her mouth with this toothpaste. And she came in the room acting all weird, like she was going to twist her head all the way around. And she started spitting out that green toothpaste. Girl. Me and my friend Linda, if we hadn't been on the second floor of their home, we would have probably jumped out the window.
Look how many people got obsessed with that movie, though. And that, you know, that's classic evidence there, you know, people being obsessed with demonic activity.
Right. any kind of ghostly activity too. The biggest thing that I pass along to people, it's okay to be fascinated with different subjects of the paranormal, with cryptids, fairies, ghosts, spirits, you know, whatever. There's so much to the paranormal. It's okay to have that fascination. It's okay to read about it and study it, but be careful of letting this become an obsession where it's something you're constantly doing, trying to communicate with spirits, you know, because if you're constantly doing this, you know, you're leaving yourself wide open for something bad to happen. Seen too many people do it. But we've got a trip coming up next weekend. And oh, Jessica, I wish you were going.
I wish I could, but I have to work and make that money.
I hear you.
But it sounds like y'all are going to have a really nice time.
I'm excited about it. I wanted to go last year, but, you know, me getting off work was impossible last year. We're going to the Warren Seekers of the Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call it something else this year. But I am excited about this because I am going to get to see the real Annabelle doll. That's my fascination.
I think I'm going to be Annabelle for Halloween this year.
Yeah, you should. You should get that outfit that you showed me. That would be cool.
Where else are you guys going while you're up there?
I want to, but I don't know if I'm going to get to. I want to go to Salem.
You should.
Yes. Salem at Halloween?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Matter
It'll
of
be
fact,
the best Halloween ever.
I was very much thinking about skipping the VIP party that Friday night so that I can go. That has been a bucket list of mine since I was a teenager.
It's the best Halloween ever.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
I do the history of it. You know, that I love history of a place.
Salem, Massachusetts has always been on my bucket list, too.
The activity, you know, those people who were killed were probably not witches, you know. And then they could have been. But just the situation, all the negative energy from everything that happened there, you know, that's got to still be lingering.
I think that the trauma that happened with whether they were witches or not
exactly
caused stuff to linger. Salem has an interesting feel. If you've never been before, as an empath, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it.
No, I've never been there.
No, I haven't. That's Michael's birthday, but he hasn't been there since he was a year old. So
it's the energy there is unlike anything you've ever felt.
Maybe that's why I have such an interest in the paranormal, because I was born in Massachusetts.
Maybe. Say that
possible.
Again.
Massachusetts.
I have the hardest time saying that state name.
What, Massachusetts?
Yes. It doesn't want to come out right.
Just call it Mass.
There you go.
Everybody will understand what you mean. It's all good.
And I'm wondering if I need to take Leveda with us on the trip. I'm thinking about it.
Not to Salem, you don't.
Oh, no. No. I can't take that doll to a place like that.
Never, never.
We just have got her behaving. And if you're wondering who LaVeyda is, if you watched Repossessed, or if you haven't watched it, go watch it. We have a haunted baby doll, and we call her LaVeyda. She is featured on season one, episode two of the TV show on Hulu called Repossessed. One day we're going to do a live stream, and we're going to show her off a little bit and talk a lot about her. We haven't done that since we've had her, actually. She came in a little, her own little tomb. It's a wooden box. Also, there's a bone in there, different articles from a plantation owner. The doll was in the box with three nails in her chest. We have these articles with us. We do have to keep the doll separated from the box. I feel like she doesn't, the energy's not as bad if she's separated from it. But just as sure as we put that whole box together and put all the articles in there and add that doll, all hell breaks loose at our house. The matter of fact, we don't even have the box here at the house. We just have the doll. We have them good and separated. And that's another thing, people fascinated with haunted objects. I'm there. I think I'm there. I think I have that fascination, because I have so many haunted objects myself. I've got a majorette doll that may or may not have jumped across the floor one night. I don't know what happened. All I know is the doll was there and she landed in the middle of the floor and my cats ran everywhere. So whether or not one of the cats got its little claw hooked in its dress, which probably it didn't happen that way, but all I know is that doll went from the corner by my nightstand to the middle of the floor. We've got a silver dollar,
Yeah. No, it's not. So it's a $20 piece.
a $20 piece. We've
Yeah.
got that. We've got the hex box and its contents. I've got several dolls in a box that I've taken out of the house. I've got some in the living room. We have a doll, and the people that brought her to me said they call her Mrs. Spoons. And they said there's a reason we call her that. It's because wherever the doll is in the house, there's always a spoon by the doll. We'll take the spoon back in the kitchen and another spoon appears by the doll. We have not experienced that. And I check every once in a while to make sure Mrs. Spoons doesn't have a spoon. So, but we keep her anyway. Just in case she ever decides she's going to go running after the spoons in the So, yeah, I have my own fascinations.
Do you think that somebody was messing with the people that gave you Mrs. Spoons and like laying a spoon in front of her just to mess with somebody?
That's a possibility. That's a big possibility.
Because I can't say it's not something I would do to somebody as a joke.
Right. When people found out about the hex box that we have, especially the locals where I work, and some people from other states felt led to actually find my address and send me haunted little baby dolls.
Yeah.
And I get a package, FedEx or in the mail, and I'll be like, what is this? And one doll came with no return address, no description what it is, why they sent it to me, just for no reason sent me this doll. The doll is still in the box it came in. I opened the box and looked at it, and I put it back in the box, and I'm like, I don't know any of the backstory on this. I think it's best you just stay right where you are. And I do have some creepy looking dolls. Some of them are very antique. And I think we Googled one. I gave Kobe's daughter one, and we had Googled it, and that doll is eBay, $750 easy. She came in a wooden case. Beautiful. No, I didn't give that child a haunted doll. We checked this doll out for quite a bit. Nothing out of the ordinary. I didn't feel anything off this doll, so I gave her away.
I think sometimes those porcelain dolls, like that doll, just tend to be a little creepy, even though they're not haunted.
Right, because think about it, old porcelain dolls, they have you begin to see not cracks, but they look like cracks on their faces, on their hands. You know, that gives the creep factor right there.
Yeah, walking through the thrift store, and they've got all those porcelain dolls and they're on stands. Just walking down an aisle like that just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like them.
And here's my thing is I've always been terrified of dolls. Even growing up, I didn't play with dolls. Never did. But every Christmas, my mother would give me a baby doll, which never got played with. She bought me a little doll cradle. The last baby doll she got me, I think I was 13, and she said, "This is your last baby doll that you're ever going to get." She said, "So I want you to take care of this one." And I would lay it in that cradle, and that's where it would stay. I still have that doll to this day. I remember the dress it had on. I remember everything about it. It's probably over in my storage building, but I still have that doll. But I never liked them. It's like their eyes, as a child, you got to understand, it would be like their eyes were following you around. I wouldn't watch any
Ooh.
horror movie that had scary children, like Children of the Corn. To this day, I won't watch anything like that. That involves children or dolls, forget
So,
except for
and
Annabelle.
I
She's
think it's,
different. I want to see her. She's
I think it's in Mexico. Have you seen the island of the haunted dolls?
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to go there so bad. I just want to go there one time.
Well, I'll rent you a boat and you're more than welcome to take off and go, but I'm not going with you. That is just too creepy. Here in Georgia, there's actually in the woods, there's a place where there's baby dolls hung from trees. They've mutated these dolls. I mean, and just you walk this trail, and this trail is nothing but dolls, and it's very similar to that.
So when I was a kid in Huntington, West Virginia, across from West Junior High School, where my sister went to school while I was in elementary school, there was a woman that had her whole yard decorated with dolls, and they were like hanging from trees and straddling the mailbox and hanging from the fence. It was just very creepy, and it was all year. Like I would have understood if it was like some Halloween display, but no, she left it like that all year long, all the time.
That's creepy.
It was very strange.
We have a friend that lives in Las Vegas, and every Halloween she posts pictures of dolls hanging from her trees, on her porch. Anywhere you can put a doll, she's got a creepy doll. And I'm like, why? Why would you want to do that?
It was
Well,
very
it has been.
strange.
Yes. I'll find that place, Jessica. I'll have to Google it. But I think it's in North Georgia. That'd be a good trip for you to take the girls and explore. I can't remember the name of it, but I will find it and I'll send you a link to it so you can take the girls out there. They'll have fun out there. It has been a good show tonight. I love talking about the paranormal. You know, do we stay on subject? Not all the time, but it's okay. It's all about paranormal chatting, and I can chat paranormal all day long with you guys. We miss Kobe. Kobe has a job that requires him to work on Thursday nights, so he's not going to be with us for a while, but we always have Jessica with us, and it's always good to talk to Jessica. Sometimes I get Jessica DTs during the week and I have to call Jessica and talk to her. Sometimes I'm like, okay, what can I call Jessica about today?
Oh,
So I
you
say,
don't need a
oh,
reason, just call me.
good. I'm glad you said that. There's different ways you can find our team. We are Fox Paranormal on Facebook. We also have a TikTok, Michael and Destiny Fox at Fox Paranormal 22. We have a group called the Paranormal Fox. I've opened that up and I've let people begin to post on there as well. We also have Fox Paranormal Advertising. This is a group where you can post about if you give classes in demonology, psychic medium classes, whatever you do, you can advertise your team to get more likes on your page. Your podcast, your live streams, anything pertaining to paranormal, you are welcome to advertise there. And I think that's all we've got.
Yeah,
Okay, because we
it's a
don't have
lot.
to. Wait, that's a lot. That's enough to keep up with right there. Absolutely. And if you have Hulu channel, be sure to watch Repossessed. It's going to be on the Hulu channel. For a few more months. It's going to air on History Channel Canada, probably in January, from what I've heard. So, you know, lots of ways to see the show. Two options there. If you watch it, send me a message and let me know what you think about the episode, what you think about the Hex Box and the story that was built around the box. That is absolutely true.
I actually went, a lot of detail on the show when I was giving the history behind the doll, the
Yes, you
box.
did. We did a lot of research on that area. And prayers for the person, please, that found this box and dug it up on his property. He's been dealing with cancer over the past year and a half, 2 years. And he's getting good reports, having surgeries here and there. But very optimistic, and his slogan is God is bigger.
Yes.
He has bracelets, I mean, all kind of stuff. I would give you his name, but we'll just keep that to us right now. But just keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Send some positive energy his way. Anyway, that wraps up our show for tonight. Until next week. Michael, anything you want to say in closing?
I just want to, people to be very careful when they're not used to going out and investigating the paranormal, just to be, very cautious. And if they could get somebody that's experienced with go with them, they would be better off.
Absolutely. Never go alone. Anything could happen. You could fall and break your leg,
Yes.
you know, and there's other dangers out there too. Investigating by yourself. So,
Also, make
oh,
sure
go
you have
ahead.
permission. Make sure
Absolutely.
you
Have
have permission.
permission. Have permission. Okay, that's a wrap. Till next week. Peace and love from Jessica, Destiny, and Michael Fox Paranormal. Have a good evening, everyone.
Good night, everybody.